Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Med School Minutes podcast, where we discuss what it takes to attend and successfully complete a medical program. This show is brought to you by St. James School of Medicine. Here is your host, Kaushik Guha.
Hello, 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 and welcome to Med School Minutes, where we talk about everything MD with the focus on international graduates, especially Caribbean students. This is a special episode where we've been talking to a bunch of our matched candidates, whoever has been able to make it to the studio. And today I have Dr. Russell Hegburn, who has matched into a program. I will leave the introduction to him. Take it away, Dr. Hegburn.
All right. My name is Dr. Russell Hegburn. I found out today that I matched to a family medicine residency program at St. Francis Hospital in Wilmington, Delaware.
Awesome. So without further ado, you found out that you matched on Monday?
I found out I matched on Monday for sure.
All right. And today is Friday. What did you do from Monday to Friday?
I slept. I ate. I exercised. I did laundry. I just embraced the fact that, you know, this whole 4 or 5 month of stress has ended.
Okay.
In a good light.
All right. I mean, it's a little concerning to me that you're saying that you started doing laundry since Monday, and before that, all these years in med school, you didn't do any laundry. That's a little concerning.
You know, it's different pre-match and post-match. Like, you really stop and think about, like, you know, before you match, you use, like, the basic line detergent. Now that you match, you can actually afford Tide and, like, and, like, all the higher, like, the Tide pods. Not even, like, the scoop and powders. Like, the actual pod. Drop two in and you're done. Like, that's where I'm at now.
Oh. Yeah. Well, you're living it up. Like, you know.
I turned up, man. Turned up on Monday. Yeah. No more liquid for me. No more pouring. I need to watch that 2-3 level. Nope. A pot or two.
So where were you doing your laundry all this while? Did you like go and buy like a washer dryer?
That's another thing too. Like in my basement, like the basement of my apartment building. Yeah, like one or two. Like I went to a laundromat and like bought credit and like invest like a payment. Like I leveled up, man. Monday I went and I was like, I did it. I'm here. I need an account. I need an account with your company to use a big laundromat like machines. Like,
so all this while it was just quarters. Now it's like, I'm Dr. Hegburn here.
Like, I didn't know laundry machine swipe now. I didn't know it was a payment card. Like, I was old school. Like, literally going to the bank. I need two rolls of quarters. Here's a 20. No, I didn't even know. Like, world changed. Yeah.
That's awesome. And so before the match happened, I know everybody's nervous. What was going through your mind? Were you confident? Were you not confident? Were you resigned? You know what? If it happens, it happens. You know, you just need one good interview. What was your thoughts? Like, were you super confident? This is it. I know it's going to happen.
So for me, this year is not my first year applying. This is actually my third year. So this year in applying, I got a lot of positive feedback from programs, which was different from last year. And also I got a lot of more interview offers from programs than last year. So a big part of me was like, well, this is a huge response. I should really, like, this is it. But a part of me still had like a back of like history, like I guess PTSD, saying like, you know, you did get good review before, but part of me was like, there's a greater chance that I matched it than the match. Whereas in the past, it was like 50-50, maybe 40-60 that I matched, 60 I didn't match kind of thing. But now this year, I felt like a bigger response to it, but still stressed, still nervous, because as much as they say they like you, you know, did they rank you top 10 or top 5?
Mm-hmm.
So if they rank you top 5, for sure you match. But if it's top 10, you know, who else is above you? And that was a stress that we all had, I think. And I'm just glad today we found out that, you know, in our programs, they did put us top 5.
Okay, that's fantastic. And so you said that this was your third time matching. Was it easier going through this match cycle that you had this experience before, or was it harder?
I think this year was a little bit easier because in the past, I felt like I kind of did it on my own. But last year, like the year before and like this year applying, I really reached out to others.
Okay.
I really found the importance of networking, recognized I really can't do it on my own, because what I felt like when I graduated, I was like, you know, you go through match, everyone did it on their own. You hear those that match, like, oh, I went to interview and stuff. So you assume like either you're good enough or not. But like this year, I really took advantage of networking, meeting program directors, residents. They gave me their advice, how to approach the program, how to reach out. And even when interviewing, like I felt like a little bit more in tune going to the conferences and meeting them beforehand. Yeah. So when I interviewed with them, like I was already familiar. Whereas in the past, I felt like I walked in cold.
All right. So this is very interesting because this is one of the complaints that I have a lot about St. James students is that St. James does provide a lot of services. The funny thing is that our students don't avail it. So, for example, you were a St. James counselor. Not all the students who are not necessarily doing well for whom the counseling program is open to have reached out to you, have they? I mean, you have had situations where you reached out to them and they have basically come back and said, I don't have time for this.
Yeah, I don't have time for this. I don't feel like it's helping in the past. You know, I feel like I'm doing good on my own. You know, definitely what I'm doing works. And I understand it. I was in their position. Like, I felt like I was in a good strategy. So the least I can do, understand their position is like, hey, you know, I get it. I'm not here to tell you to do anything different. But if you like to at least talk about it, maybe I can give you something to add on and give you a different perspective. So it wasn't saying that they were right or they were wrong. It was more like, hey, let me share my story with you. And then from that, you can take what you want.
Okay.
I think a lot of students that took advantage of that really found that appreciative, and versus those that were really sure that they knew what they were doing. I found those that really like took time with it. I worked with them. I saw their change, their mentality, their change in their approach. And they actually felt they feel more equipped, more better. And they felt like they got better. Because once again, all they will share what I've done, give them a different approach. Because all we have is to go by what others did.
Yeah.
And not to hear like the strugglers, not the ones that really like tried 1,000 things. Like one or two techniques doesn't work for everyone. Maybe someone needs 7 and find that 1 or 2 out of the 7 that works.
So it almost sounds like you're saying that these students don't necessarily have an open mind. And in order to be successful, you need to have an open mind. Like as you said, this year you were like, I'm going to absorb and imbibe as much information as I can from everybody. Right or wrong, you're going to filter that info, take that information, filter it, and use it for your own benefit, almost like a Superman.
Yeah, for sure. And I said, I can even say to myself, I matched the fam medicine this year. And when I first started medicine, I wanted to be a specialist, surgery, OB, something very hands-on with procedure. I never really gave much fam medicine much really attention early because I was like, well, a lot of people go into family med. Right. There's a whole perception that you found the fam med as a backup. So I'm like, that's not what I want. So I, in my head, thought a specialty. But when I got to clinicals, I realized that those specialties were too specific. Mm-hmm. They were very narrow. The things I wanted to do didn't fall in that category.
Yeah.
So when I took a step back and evaluated it, family actually fell in line with the type of person who I am, what I can do, offered me so many opportunities I can explore. So if I didn't have an open mind, I will be stuck on a specialty that really and truly that I found out later that it really didn't suit the, like I wasn't, like I wasn't that person. I was very open. I was very willing. I wanted to do everything. I wanted to focus on the patient, not just the industry. I wanted to focus on like the academics, not just, you know, the curriculum. I wanted to focus on everything as opposed to just the cut-in of a patient.
Right.
It offered me that.
So it's almost like, but to go back to what you just said, that's not necessarily true though, because family medicine actually has potential career options that once you finish, you can go and do a fellowship and you can have specializations, further specializations and take certain tracks through family medicine. Is that right?
That's correct. And that's the part, as you said, like to have an open mind. Because before I didn't, I want to actually like open my eyes to what family med meant. I can be all of that, just have the title of family med, but still offer all of that care.
So, right.
Yeah.
So your program that you matched into is not going to start until end June, early July?
Yeah. So orientation starts in June,
mid-June,
but officially starts in July. And I'm glad for this program because it's an unopposed program. So every rotation, every clerkship I do, it's just me and the attendant. So I have maximum learning opportunity, which is great.
That's awesome.
I think that's another thing for people to really keep in mind when they think about their options. Yes, it'd be great to be in a particular institute, but do they offer the type of training and exposure that you want?
Right. So as far as you're concerned from now through June, I mean, what are your plans? Hopefully doing some laundry too?
More laundry, sleep, eat. Yeah, just lots and lots. Like those Tide Pods, man, I cannot express enough how wonderful they are. Yeah.
What about drinking? Are you drinking at all? Like, are you partying it up? I mean, I know, because when you go through this journey, and it's not just you, or it's not Dr. Chaudhary, it's not, I mean, nor any of the other counselors, they literally had no time to breathe. They were eating, sleeping, drinking, studying, and medical books. Nothing else. No time. Now that this is the time, you know, earlier we had some other folks come in and they said, yeah, now that, you know, I mean, I'm all done, I'm going to study a little bit more so I'm prepared, or I'm going to study for step three. You're unique because you've already, you know, knocked that out of the park.
I mean, the most I'll do is listen to a podcast here and there. I know Harrison or AFP has some good podcasts on medicine. But if it's not on the audio and I can't listen to it while I'm driving, I'm not.
Yeah.
Travel, eat, sleep, laundry, man. That's it. I've actually reached out to a lot of my friends that are residents now. They told me the exact same thing. Yeah. Travel, eat, sleep.
You know who's got a great podcast? Howard Stern. That's a great podcast.
Okay. That's cool. I doubt it's medicine inclined, but I'll definitely check it out.
I don't know. I mean, they do have a lot of stuff on anatomy, that's for sure.
I bet.
But, you know, you have Med School Minutes, St. James, and then right there is Howard Stern.
Okay. Wow. That's where you guys ranked. Wow. Wow. I said St. James really improved, you know, stepping up, leveling up. I got to appreciate it.
But in all seriousness, I know you mentioned that this wasn't the first time you matched. What advice do you have for students who don't make it this time?
A couple of things, you know. I'll go back to last year when I didn't match. It was devastating. I almost gave up. I had people around me that reminded me what I really joined medicine for. It wasn't to become a doctor. It was to help people.
Mm-hmm.
And remembering that made me go back out in the community to build on my CV to further help people.
Mm-hmm.
So I was working at a clinic. I started as an office assistant. I became the manager because I just wanted to help not the patients, but the doctors make their clinic better. I came to St. James as a counselor because I wanted to help students who were struggling like I did for my step one, to help them overcome the challenges they did. And for me, like I study a lot on my own, I got advice here and there. I want to offer that a little bit more to students so that more students are able to achieve their success. So, you know, for those that didn't match this year, I think the first thing is like, how can you build your CV to be better for next year? I think you have to go back to why was the reason you joined medicine and how can you express that? Because next year when you reapply, you write your personal statement, they want to see, are you just so focused on matching or are you really achieving your purpose? And for me, my personal statement this year was like, you know, my purpose is to bring impact, to help others. Being a doctor or like matching or not matching doesn't change that for me.
Mm-hmm.
And when I went to prom, I'm like, you know, if you don't choose me, I'll cry for a week. But trust me, day eight, I'll be back somewhere, back in there, causing some form of impact. So really, I mean, I was kind of giving the untone like, you guys are going to regret. Not on me.
No,
so,
of course.
So you got to show that. You got to prove that. You got to really work to your passion and work to what you want. And I think the programs themselves would reach it or would recognize that.
I know. I mean, and that's a fantastic takeaway. I mean, you got to be unrelenting. Otherwise, you know, people won't take you seriously. And that's essentially what's happening.
And so a lot of times, a lot of the questions were like, you know, you didn't match last year. Tell me about that moment. And that was a lot of the questions, like where the questions came from. And I was like, honestly, I was devastated by people around me that brought my attention back into it, recognized what I wanted to be here for. And once I figured that out, I literally took off running again.
Yeah, that's interesting. You know, I mean, I wanted to highlight a couple of quote unquote misconceptions that people seem to have about the match process. One is they keep saying that, oh, if you don't match the first time, your chances are like next to nothing, which is absolutely not true. We've seen that among our students. In fact, our students have a significantly better match rate the second time onwards than they do in their first time. The other thing is that, you know, we just heard earlier that American students get about, or students graduating from U.S. medical schools get about 20 interviews at an average. In our students, they're not getting that many. However, it's that one interview that just counts. So, getting down by comparing yourself to all these random statistics, I mean, in my opinion, is not a good idea at all. It's a terrible idea. And I think you're kind of echoing the same sentiments that, you know, you didn't match. If you were going to a doctor who's, you know, only dealing with U.S. students, they'll be, oh, yeah, you know, tough luck. But You have obviously met a bunch of alumni from St. James, practicing physicians who've encouraged you and told you, you know what, keep going. Obviously, you came to us and then we were like, we absolutely cannot figure out why you didn't match and you had to give it another shot. And, you know, I'm glad you didn't give up. I'm glad you powered through it. And I'm glad you were relentless. So any advice for all the students who are still in basic sciences and don't really know what's going to hit them?
So basic sciences, if you're just starting, don't ever think that waiting to do questions is a good idea. Start from like early. You can be just work on questions. Questions is the best way. You're in class, you're going to learn the material and the medicine. There's also there's a medicine and there's test taking skills. So start the questions early to make sure test taking skills are proficient because it's a timed exam, a lot of questions. It's a marathon. People that do marathons don't wake up one day and do a marathon. So you got to start with those daily jogs. The second thing is, you know, there's never, like I said, start early. But the second thing is, don't let other people's opinions and pathways determine how you do it. Earlier, we talked about having an open mind. How you study period is different from somebody else. So someone's recommendations of how to pass this exam may not apply to you. So you have to be dynamic in your studying. You have to be open-minded. You have to be willing to look for help and advice. A lot of students that don't make it are very adamant that they can do it on their own. And it's not weakness to feel like you need help. It's actually a strength because program directors want to know that if you're struggling, you're going to come to them before it's too late for help. Because if you wait till like, oh my God, I feel like last two assessments and your exams in 2 weeks, I'm like, I can't help you.
Yeah.
Get out of here. So if you're like, look, I just started. I know this is my weak subject. They'll make sure your curriculum will make you a strong resident going forward. So before you get there, from basic sciences, practice those things. Practice the soft skills. Practice the basic skills. Communication. Study strategy. When you have difficulty, how do you deal with it? Like, don't wait till it's too late. Start as early as possible to integrate it. Because I did. When I first got to medical school, I wanted to be SGA. I wanted to be student government. I studied from day one. I told everybody. And okay. Then I became SGA president. And then from that, I mean, a lot of people don't here remember, but after that, like I went off and when I got to clinicals, I pursued and I worked with the attendings like, hey, this is what I want. And I made it clear. And the attendants actually were responsive and they gave me the opportunities and exposure. So you can't wait till after everything is done. Like, oh my God, did I do it? From day one, let them know and let the system kind of mold around you. And if it doesn't, ask the system to mold around what you need. And you'll be surprised what you get.
Wow. Well, that's really good advice. Well, thank you so much, Dr. Hepburn. And we definitely remember you. You were SGA president for sure. You are unforgettable. So, and you've left your mark on St. James. And you know, as you you know, relentlessly power through your journey of unparalleled success. My only request is as and when you come across other St. James students, please reach out to them. Please lend them the shoulder that they need to cry on and give them advice.
As I said, I definitely will because this year, if nothing else, I really had a lot of people reach out on my behalf.
Okay.
And for that, I'm forever grateful because in the past, I pretty much went on my own. And while I did get interview offers this year, having all my friends from clinicals, all my classmates who are in that position to say, hey, I remember you, you're a good guy. What happened? Come, like, I'll like introduce you. It was up to me to prove that I was strong. So asking for help, you still have to prove it. So there's no weakness in asking for help.
One thing I did want to touch upon is hobbies. We all know what your hobby is. You've actually managed to make a vegan, gluten-free cake taste like a real cake. That's a skill and I mean, you know, if I was a programmer, I'd hire you just for that. Tell us a little bit more about this hobby of yours. Like, you have sweetened the day for so many of us in the office just by bringing in such amazing treats. I'm a trained chef, definitely not a baker, but what you do, it almost, not almost, it actually tastes professional. So was that even a backup plan? Like maybe not? I mean, you know.
I come from a family of cooks and bakers. My grandma, for sure. My older sister, she does. My mom, every Christmas and Easter, they bake Jamaican traditional stuff. So it's always been like, I've always kind of known the technique. But really coming on my own, I didn't want to be a professional. I didn't want to be backup because I found baking relaxing. It's just something that really connected me
back.
So I do it for... I do it because I'm happy. I do it because I want others to be happy. Really, I brought the bagels in because I wanted coffee in the morning. It's like something with my coffee. And I was like, I don't want to eat like a whole ton of donuts. I'll just bring it in for everyone else and take my one. So, I mean, it didn't cost me much. It was more relief and a way to kind of burn off the excess energy, really, the anxiety and the stress. So now that match, sorry, guys, you guys are going to start losing weight. So, yeah.
Well, what about the program that you're going into? Can the program director and your attending look forward to some amazing baked goods?
First of all, like all of them know, so they're waiting for it. In fact, my friend of the program, I promised her a pie if I match. So she's waiting for it.
All right, you know, here's the deal, though. You got to practice that. That pie has to be perfect. You need to have a couple of attempts in making it. Before May, we need a couple more attempts and we can critique it.
So here's a problem. I already know how to make a pie crust. I already know how to make a fillet. So like,
But you don't know, I mean, you know, whether it's going to be perfect. There could be that one day you need, you know, practice makes perfect. You heard of that. You said it yourself. You keep practicing the questions. Mm-hmm. Treat this pie preparation thing like it's the USMLE of pie making.
Okay, so if you're asking me for a pie, for sure I could bring one pie in. Yeah. But if you're asking me for practice, you should know already, like, practice has already been done. But no, I can definitely
bring modesty has left the building.
I'm just saying, I've done the practice. Like, I have a standard. So, but all I said, right. No, I'll definitely brush up well before I leave. But I know I'm definitely grateful for SGSM for everything they've done. They've been very supportive.
Thank you.
When I started St. James, the only thing they promised was an attempt for step one and the opportunity to interview. But working with them, recognizing that the amount of upgrades they've made and the amount of opportunities they've increased upon for all the graduates, it's a lot more than that. It's being able to rotate in good hospitals, like even basic sciences, being able to be exposed to questions in the curriculum early and having professors really walk through USMLE relevant material from day one as opposed to waiting until MD5. You guys have really upgraded a lot. And for that, yeah, I'll definitely support the students. I'll support the faculty. I'll support wherever I can because the ultimate goal of St. James has really been true. You're really there for the students to ensure that they have the future they want without incurring all the financial stress that will come normally. So I support honest missions.
Oh, Russell, you're going to make me cry. Well, thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate you. We really appreciate everything you've done for the school. And we really appreciate your success. Thank you so much for being on the show. And do stay in touch. And as I mentioned, moving forward, please reach out and help out as many SJSM students as you can.
For sure. Thank you. I think I spoke to HR about like staying on payroll to keep shipping over cookies or muffins or something like that.
I mean, if you could do that without the payroll part, we'd love that.
See, it's in the part of the contract. So. But for sure. Yeah, I'll definitely be there for all students if whatever they need me.
All right. Well, thank you so much.
All right.
Thank you so much for tuning into our show. We hope you enjoyed another episode of Med School Minutes. If you like our content, please follow us and receive notification when a new show is posted. This podcast is brought to you by St. James School of Medicine. For a video version of this podcast, please check us out on sjsm.org/video.